Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
All right, Greeny, we roll along here. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance, jam-packed. We still have not gotten to revenge in fantasy football is a dish best served ice cold. But speaking of revenge, you know someone who I think, I sometimes use the term scorched earth tours. I like using that on Get Up, and I've been kind of right on most of them that I predicted. I said Aaron Rodgers was going to go on a scorched earth tour after the Packers drafted the kid Jordan Love behind him, and Rodgers has won back-to-back MVPs. We've called for a few of them in the past. I think LeBron James might go on a scorched earth tour. I think LeBron has some reminding of people to do. So if you are following this, or maybe more to the point, if you're not following this, let me point out for you that we at ESPN are releasing our NBA rank. So we put together a panel, over 200 reporters, editors, producers, and analysts, people who know the NBA backwards and forwards, and asked them to rank players based on their predicted contributions for the upcoming season. And they are announcing them sporadically, right? We listed the top 100, I think, players in total. And today I received 10 through 6. So 1 through 5 has not yet been released. So the top 5 players in the NBA have not yet been released. But what was in my email today was that Kevin Durant came in at number 8 and LeBron James came in at number 6. 6. LeBron James is now deemed the 6th best player in the NBA. Now, they haven't announced the top 5 players, but there are 5 who are missing. You don't have to be a genius to figure out who the 5 are if you want to. We don't know the order, but the 5 are going to be Giannis, Jokic, Luka, Steph, and Joel Embiid. Those are going to be the 5. So those 5 players are better than LeBron James. And here's what I will say to that. What exactly is it you're looking for? If you're looking for season-long contribution, then you're not going to get an argument out of me. But that's not what I look for in a player. What I'm looking for in a player is which player being on my team gives me the best chance of winning the championship. There's only one objective any team that has any of these guys on it has, and that is winning a title. And I would argue that LeBron James is definitively higher on this list if that is your criteria. And again, to me, that is the only criteria worth having. So before anyone gives me a skeptical response, let me ask you a question, Hembo. If your goal is to win the championship this coming year, and I said you could either start a team with Nikola Jokic or LeBron James, which would you choose?
Nikola Jokic.
You're out of your mind. If I told you your goal is to win a championship this year, and you could start a team with either Luka Doncic or LeBron James, who would you choose?
Luka Doncic.
You're out of your mind. Steph Curry. Joel Embiid.
Joel Embiid.
Giannis Antetokounmpo. You have no problem with the 5 names that are ahead of LeBron.
I have no problem.
Jason Tatum is also ahead of Kevin Durant. You have no problem with LeBron and KD being as low on this list as they are.
No. The question was, which player will be better this season? We're forecasting what's going to happen. Those players are aging, and those players both have massive question marks around them. We're projecting things forward. LeBron James, the Lakers were outscored when LeBron James was on the floor last season. He and KD are still going to put up numbers, but using your criteria to win a championship, I don't think the Lakers have any shot. I think the Nets are a much further long shot than, say, consensus thinks.
Okay, if you took Luka Doncic off the Mavericks and put LeBron James in, do they get worse?
Yes.
Their chances of winning a championship get worse?
Their chances of winning a championship get worse.
See, the only players that I would say that about that are on this list right now are Giannis and Steph. Those would be the two. Because what Steph does is so singular. It's so unique. He's so incredibly valuable based on what he does. And then Giannis is the best player. Giannis is top to bottom the best player. He does everything for that team. And again, I think he would be the 2-time defending NBA champion right now if he had not lost his most valuable teammate during the playoffs. Nuno, you have any issue with LeBron being 6?
I do, because I think you could You could put okay with Giannis and Steph ahead of them, but Embiid and Jokic, I still would take LeBron. If based upon your question, you're starting a team, one player to win a championship, I'm taking LeBron over those guys. Because LeBron's getting dinged for the fact that the Lakers, that roster is a complete and utter mess.
Yep.
Like, that's what he's getting dinged for. But when you're talking about best players in the league, there are not five better, and in KD's point, eight better are players than these two players.
That's what I think. And again, I'm not talking about who has the best chance of winning the championship this year, because okay. LeBron James mm-hmm. is playing for a franchise that sold their soul to win one title and they won it. And his running mate Anthony Davis is never healthy. So I'm not saying he has a better chance of winning this year's championship than these five guys. But what I am saying is that's not his fault. You could put him on a team, and in the playoffs, I believe he gives you a better chance to win every single game he plays. Now, this may not be the criteria for this list. We're talking about season-long, contributional. I get it. I'm not upset that he is where he is on this list. I'm saying that in the way I would judge this thing by what matters, I did not vote in this. But if I had, I would have put LeBron higher.
LeBron James is 37 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Generally speaking, he is not at a point, based upon all the history we have, that he is going to be able to perform at a top five level. What 37-year-old in NBA history has ever been top five in any season?
Well, I mean, I hear you, but what quarterback has ever done what Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers and these guys are doing? Athletes, because of the things that are available to them now in the ways of training and nutrition and everything else, the way they take care of their bodies, the way this guy in particular, LeBron, takes care of his body, he's not 37 in the way players were 37 in previous generations. So I think you have to equate him to someone, like I grew up watching basketball in the 70s. I think by the standards of 70s basketball, LeBron is like 28. By the 80s, he's 30. By the 90s, he's 32. And by a generation ago, he's 33 or 34. He is right at the end, but still in the window where he can be a dominant player.
So what regression would you need to see from him to the point where you'd say he's no longer a top five player? Because I think we saw some of it last year.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I was in the building when they played Golden State on that Saturday night on ABC, and he scored whatever. What did he score that night? 40-something points, and he was unbelievable.
He's also much less available than he used to be.
But not in the playoffs, he wouldn't be. They just didn't make
the playoffs. They don't make the playoffs.
No, I understand that, but I'm telling you that to win the championship, you have to be in the playoffs. I get it. That's why these guys all do belong on the list ahead of him. But what I'm saying is when I get there, in the games that matter the most, I'll take that guy on my team, and you can have Jokic, Embiid, or Luka, I'm not 100% sure about Luka.
Luka just beat the Phoenix Suns by himself. They won 65 games, dude.
But they had a bunch of problems. I think there was some stuff going on there. Yeah, Luka's special. He's the one that I would be the most hesitant to not have ahead of him now.
So he and
LeBron would be a lot.
So right now for you, it's only Steph and Giannis and LeBron and Steph, excuse me, and then LeBron and Luka would be there for number three.
And KD. I think we're totally selling short Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant has one fatal flaw. And that is, he chooses the wrong things. He chooses the wrong people. His decision-making, not who he doesn't pass to. Now, I'm not talking about on the floor. You know what I'm talking about.
Did you watch him play the Celtics in the playoffs last year?
Look, that team was so dysfunctional, so out of it, so completely checked out. First of all, they should have won game one. That's an entirely different series if they win game one. They get beat on an uncontested layup with 1/10 of a second left. The whole series turns on that. Kyrie Irving.
They got swept.
God knows where he is. God knows where Kyrie Irving is. And I think Kevin Durant recognized it, and he was like, this is checkmate. I want out of here.
So Kevin Durant.
He's a great player. He's a ridiculously great player.
So he's just a victim of circumstance there. We're not going to put any of the blame on
him. He created the circumstance. I put all the blame on him. He created the circumstance that destroyed him. But he is still that good. You put him in the right circumstance, you tell me right now,
mm-hmm.
you're trying to win a championship. And again, I'm not starting in September, although in the case of Embiid, you might start in September because of the injury history.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, your only goal is to win a championship. You could either have Joel Embiid or Kevin Durant on your team. You would take Embiid?
For the upcoming season, I would take Embiid.
Okay. Look, I'm not going to sit here and tell you you're wrong because I don't have incontrovertible evidence that you're wrong, but I think you're wrong.
He and LeBron James, KD and LeBron James are still inarguably top 10 players. This is a very high bar to clear, but in some sense, they are still living off of their own well-deserved reputation. It could be possible that there could be five better players than them, and that'd be okay.
Jokic, again, we don't know the order. So let's guess the order. I think the order is going to be Giannis 1, Luka 2, Steph 3,
Embiid 4, Jokic 5.
One or the other.
Jokic just won back-to-back MVPs.
Jokic beat him for the MVP, so maybe they go Jokic.
I think Jokic... Do you think Steph will be ahead of Luka?
No.
You do not?
No, I got Giannis 1, Luka 2, Steph 3.
After Steph's playoff performance?
If I had to guess... Again, I'm not telling you what I would do. Uh-huh. I'm telling you what I think it's going to be.
Uh-huh.
I think it's going to be Giannis 1, Luka 2, Steph 3. And then Jokic and Embiid 4, 5. I don't know the order. Then we know LeBron is 6, Tatum is 7, KD is 8. Look, it's interesting stuff, and I'm looking forward to it. Obviously, we'll be back this year. The crew is back to do NBA Countdown for you, and our season starts in a couple of weeks, and you know, we'll be talking about it here, and I'm excited to get it going, and I'm happy to be having the conversation. Let's see. I think LeBron and the Lakers, they might have a little something more in the hopper than most people are expecting this year. That's just a guess. Maybe it's wishful thinking on my part. I'm Greeny. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career path with flexibility and great pay and benefits? Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today. Bundle today at progressive.com. Coming up, I went to sleep last night before an abject disgrace took place, but it needs to be discussed, and it will be next on ESPN Radio.
Greeny, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Greeny with you, presented by Progressive Insurance and by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. Right now, we got a dead heat on today's question of the day. I gave you four teams that are more than a field goal underdogs. Jets at home against the Bengals, Dolphins at home against the Bills, Lions at Minnesota, Steelers at Browns tonight. We got a flat-footed tie right now amongst two of those teams. You can tilt it. 25 minutes to go. Cast your vote. Log on to my Twitter page at ESPN Greeny and cast your vote. Meantime, I have another question of the day, and this one comes from a green light.
I'm ready to go right now. Green light, green light with Greeny. Give me the green
light. Did they walk Aaron Judge on four pitches last night in a 9-run game? Did that actually happen? I will confess, as was the case the night before, I went to sleep before Judge's final at bat of the night. I want to see history made, but I need to get some sleep for crying out loud and getting old. So I saw, I want to say three at bat. I saw both doubles. I think that might be it. I think I may have seen one more. They're killing the Pirates. They hit a grand slam in the first inning. I mean, this game was over before it started. But everyone is there. Everyone on planet Earth. Every time he comes up, you hear Michael Kay, the announcer on Yes, say, and we welcome all of you across the country who are joining us to Yes, the Yes Network. I'm Michael Kay, and this is David Cohn, and this is Paul O'Neill, and this is Meredith Morakovitz, and we're here doing this the enormous game because the whole country is tuning in to see Aaron Judge. And in, was it the eighth inning?
The eighth inning.
of a 9-run game, did they throw him 3 changeups and a curveball and walk him on 4 pitches?
Yes, the sequence was changeup, ball, curveball, ball, changeup, ball, changeup, ball.
Is that a disgrace? I mean, is that... Look, I'm in no way am I suggesting they should be grooving a pitch to Aaron Judge. But at on a 3-0 count, in a 9-run game in the 8th inning, you don't throw a fastball? Throw a freaking fastball, and if he hits it out, he hits it out. You, at some point, this is an entertainment product. Baseball is not a game. It's a product. The reason that Rob Manfred has made all these changes to over the ridiculous complaints of players and traditionalists who don't get it is because that this is not a game we're talking about. You love baseball because it's a game, but the reality is it has long since ceased to be a game. It's a game when kids play it. What they're doing is a product. And no one, not one person, the people watching in Pittsburgh, the other Pirates in the dugout, didn't show up there last night to see them throw 3 changeups and a curveball in a 9-run game. First of all, you're 40 games under 500 anyway. But I will never criticize a team for trying to win. If you have a chance to win, this is the part of the game that you're always telling me it's bad sportsmanship to continue to try.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 9-run game in the 8th. If one of the Yankees had stolen a base, they would have thrown at him. Yeah. They would have beamed Aaron Judge if one of the Yankees had stolen a base. But you're pitching him carefully? What the actual heck are we doing? Am I wrong?
No.
Or is that a freaking disgrace?
No, what the Pirates did last night in that game in the 8th inning is disrespectful. It's disrespectful. When you always hear people say, respect the game, right? Like, don't steal the base when you're up 9 runs. I understand pitching around Aaron Judge in a high-leverage moment or not throwing him a fastball in a high-leverage moment. But to throw him 4 off-speed pitches in a 9-run game in the 8th inning is disrespecting the game of baseball. Have you ever heard of the person Eric Stout?
Yeah, of course.
Who is that?
I don't know. Tell me who he is.
He was the guy that pitched last night.
Oh, right.
This would be the best moment of his career if Aaron Judge hit 61 off of him. The okay. best moment.
See, now you went too far. See, you went too far.
There's the pitch by Downing.
Yeah, no, I understand that. So what you're suggesting is that Stout could have his name in there for the until the end of time. No, who was I thinking of? Whose name sounds enough like Eric Stout that I immediately assumed that I knew who you were talking about?
I don't know.
Mike Trout?
Greeny, have you heard of Mike Trout?
No. Wasn't there a quarterback named Eric
Couch?
No.
Tim Couch.
There was a quarterback named Stout.
Let me see.
Who's the quarterback named Stout?
Jordan Stout?
No.
He's a punter.
Mark Stout?
Mike Stout.
Mark?
Mark? Was it Mark or Mike?
Who's Mark Stout?
There was a quarterback whose last name was spelled S-T-O-U-D-T.
Oh, O-U-D-T.
I believe so.
Stand by.
Look that up.
Cliff Stout.
As God is my witness, I thought I knew who you were
Cliff
talking
Stout.
About. Cliff Stout. That's who I'm
quarterback for Pittsburgh.
Right. He was a quarterback for the Steelers.
If that's Eric's dad, that would be wild. Stand
okay.
by.
I don't know the answer one way or the other. But Cliff Stout was at one time the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, having said that, go back to this. Mm. I don't think that this kid should be trying to give up the home run again. But you throw a fastball because that's what this the game. You don't act scared that the guy might hit his 61st home run against you. That's my point. They pitch that at bat as though, well, no matter what happens, we're not letting this guy hit his 61st home run here. And that's not what anyone wants. That's literally not one person wants to see.
I actually looked it up for you. There have been 6,667 3-0 pitches thrown this season. Only 86 of those have been changeups. Only 40 of those have been changeups out of the zone. It's a 1 in 200 occurrence. It practically never happens. It's disrespectful.
Yes, and people are booing like crazy, and 100% understandably mm-hmm. so. And the fans are streaming for the exits as soon as it's over, and yeah. so they didn't get a chance to see another 3-run home run. The same kid, Stout, gave up the 3-run home run?
Stout gave up the home run.
Good, because, I mean, that is just... and so now that's a home run that goes against his ERA, and no one gives a damn about it.
That's
so
right.
To your point, he didn't make history, and he still got shellacked, which was richly deserved. And one of those runs was a runner that was put on base under ridiculous circumstances. So that just... You know what are we doing here, people? I'm sitting up here fighting like crazy for your sport. I got people calling me up saying, hey, Greeny, I can't believe you spent 2 hours on baseball yesterday. A freaking guy hit his 60th home run. I'm fighting with everything I've got to try and bring some light to this thing. And you're throwing three changeups and a curveball to Aaron Judge in a 9-run game in the 8th inning? Is that a joke? Like, I mean, when I woke up this morning and I saw that he had walked, and like I knew that he hadn't hit. The second my alarm goes off, I pick up the phone, I look at it. The day before, I had, I want to say it was 104 emails. Yesterday, or this morning, I woke up, I had like 42, like my normal number. Like I knew he hadn't hit the home run, because if he had hit his 61st home run, we'd be talking about it. But it was not until I'm in the car on my way in and I can really look carefully at some of the notes that I found out that this happened.
Let me ask you a question, though,
go
because
ahead.
The context might be different.
Go.
Because the Yankees are now going to play four games against their arch rival.
The
four
Red
games
Sox.
Against the Boston Red Sox.
Right.
Alex Cora is the Red Sox manager. They're out of it. Are you telling your pitchers, I don't want Aaron Judge hitting these historic home runs against us, so pitch against him at all costs?
No, I don't think so. I really hope not. Now, look, Alex Cora, you, the respect you have for the game is to try and win the game. If he comes up with a runner on second and a close game in the seventh inning, then yes, you put him on.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not only is he their best hitter, he's the best hitter in the world. But if he comes up in that situation with one out in the eighth inning and you're losing 11-4 or you're winning 11-4, pitch to him for crying out loud. Try and get him out. Don't throw one down the middle of the plate and let him hit the home run. Try and get him out. And then whatever happens, happens. And if he hits the home run, he hits the home run. But that's the game. That's the sport. That's what we're doing here. Nuno and Bubba, do either of you think I'm wrong?
No. So two quick things. And Judge being the great guy that he is, he was like, oh, he was making some competitive pitches.
All right,
pitches.
Calm down. We don't need
right?
that.
Like, you know, but here, I have a solution for this because Stout thought that some of those pitches were close. The umpire needs to take it upon himself to at least call one of those pitches a strike to actually make this guy feel like, oh, I have an opportunity this bat, at bat, and then he actually throws him something to hit.
See, like, I think it's the opposite. I think the ump is calling those balls so he has to throw a fastball. I think if the umpire is jerry-rigging the situation in any direction, he's doing it so that he gets to a 3-0 count. He got to a 3-0
count! Yeah, that'd be a disservice to Judge if he's calling out a strike, if it's way outside of the strike zone. That's hurting Judge.
150 years of baseball on 3-0. You throw the ball down.
I mean, I know Judge is such a nice guy.
I think at one point he was facing a 3-0 count in the game two nights ago, and Paul O'Neill and David Cohn were laughing, like, you think he's got the green light here? You know, I mean, like you know.
And Judge has been swinging early in the counts. Like,
yes.
He swung at the first pitch of the game.
That was a joke. Stout?
Stout.
Stout.
Eric Stout.
I prefer Cliff.
Mm.
I'm a much bigger fan of Cliff
Stout. Cliff
Stout. All right, as we continue, I will finally get to something that I have been wanting to do all morning long, which is tell you the single funniest story about revenge and fantasy football you will ever hear. That is as we continue live from the Seaport District to Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. I am Greeny on ESPN Radio.
Greeny, the podcast.
And something that we had at the very beginning of the show, news that literally broke right as we were starting, is that Woj is reporting that Ime Udoka, the coach of the Celtics, is most likely, what's the word that he used? Expected to be suspended for the entire year. And the question that Hembo brought up, I'm sure a lot of people thought of this, but the idiot that I am, I'm not one of them until you said it, was, does Brad Stevens make himself the coach in Boston? It's a really interesting decision he has because their number one assistant left to go to Utah. So Udoka himself was once the number one assistant. He was a big assistant, particularly in San Antonio. So he was a product of all of that. We know there were guys who were always, like, we all know they're the next in line. Like, everyone in the league, the people in the know knew that Ime Udoka was a guy who looked like he was about to become an NBA head coach, and he became one. And he had just an unbelievable first year and took his team to the finals. And he had one of those guys on his bench, but that guy went with Danny Ainge to Utah, is now in Utah with Danny Ainge. So they don't have the coach in waiting to fill in, except that their general manager is that. He was the coach, not of a team, but of this team not that long ago. So it does bring up now, Envision for me the conversation we're going to have. All right. I'm Jaylen Brown.
Okay.
You're Brad Stevens.
Okay.
Everyone knows that you tried to trade me for Kevin Durant this summer and it didn't work. Now, not only are you trying to mend fences in our current relationship, but you want to become my head coach. What's the first thing you say to me?
Well, I don't know what the first thing is you say to me, but we both have the same objective, and it's to win the championship. And there's a much better chance of us doing that if I'm coaching rather than Joe Mazzulla. I mean, this is the NBA. These people move around like crazy all the time. Kevin Durant asked Steve Nash to get fired and is going to play for him this year. Like, this is just the way of the world in the NBA, huh?
Yeah, because someone had to step in on that. And the owner basically just wasn't going to have it. It's a really interesting topic. And I really like this subject. The circumstances of it are awful, obviously. You feel terrible that this is the reason that it is out there, that this is happening. But putting that aside, and just this is a team that, as Hembo told us, is currently the favorite in Vegas to win the NBA championship and will now likely play the season without their coach. Very interested to see what happens. We continue in 15 seconds. I'm Greeny. We're rolling along and having some fun on this Thursday with the NFL season kicking off, the NFL weekend kicking off tonight with a good one. And then Saturday night, we have college football here on ESPN Radio. Wisconsin, Ohio State, brought to you by Cross Country Mortgage. With the best loan originators in the game, Cross Country Mortgage is dedicated to getting it done. Visit ccm.com today. It's an equal housing opportunity, NMLS 3029. All right, next order of business.
Just going to sit back and have a little story time.
Tell me a story.
All right, so I hit two different sounders there, and they were both the wrong ones. I meant to hit something I just want you to know. It's not one I use often, and so I haven't memorized where on my screen here it is. So I started by hitting I'm sorry what.
I'm sorry.
And I was able to stop it quickly enough that then I then hit the other
just
one.
Just going to sit back.
That's also wrong. So what I meant to hit was just want you to know. So there's something I just want you to know. Let's pretend I did that a little more smoothly than I just did. So have you ever been in a relationship that you were concerned about severing because you were afraid of the potential repercussions? Here's a story of someone who should have been. Now, I am the product. I've been married 25 years. The world is so different now. So when I first got married, we didn't worry about things like, does she know all of my passwords? Because we didn't have passwords.
And you don't know yours anyway.
That's correct. She may know my passwords. I know I don't. I have a group of people whose job it is to know my passwords for thing. And delightfully, my phone recognizes my face, and that gets me into some of my apps that, you know, every once in a while, if there's an app you haven't used for a while, it will tell you you need to log in again.
Uh-huh.
That's a bad day for me. I hate when that happens. The only time I can make that work is I say, oh, please let it be one of those that will take my face. You know, because you got to put in your email and then it wants your password.
Take my
and you're
face.
Like, I have no idea what my password is. But will it say face? Whatever little words come up down there. Like, you know when it's asking you for your face, and then it'll see my face, and then it'll put me in, and it'll have all my login information for me. That's a great moment in life. But anyway, I digress. If you are in a relationship with someone and you're going to break up with that someone and you know that someone's not going to take it well, you better be sure you change your passwords ahead of time, even on things that don't seem that important, not just your banking information and other things like that. I'm going to tell you a story about a woman. This is from Sports Illustrated, who got revenge on her ex-boyfriend by destroying his fantasy football team. This is what happened. One guy broke up with his girlfriend. His now ex-girlfriend noticed that she was still signed into his ESPN account. And since he treated her poorly, her words, she decided to get her revenge. The ex-girlfriend went into her ex's fantasy football team and began dropping the players he drafted and then replacing them with players who were free agents. I'm now going to read to you this guy's fantasy team as compiled by his ex-girlfriend. His quarterback is Colin Kaepernick.
Oh my god.
His tight end is Rob Gronkowski. His most expensive wide receiver is Larry Fitzgerald. His other wide receiver is this Keelan Cole?
Keenan Cole?
Is Keelan it Keenan Cole? Or Keelan Cole? Keelan, there is. I know there is a Keelan Cole, or at least there was a Keelan Cole.
Keelan Cole.
He has 0 points on the season so far. Is he on an active roster?
He is not.
Okay, so that's why he's on this guy's fantasy team. It looks to me like she left. Is it Kenyon Drake?
Kenyon Drake.
Is that who K. Drake is?
It is.
He got 1.3 points last week. And then which running back is D. Johnson? I'm not even sure who that is. Is it Duke Johnson?
Duke Johnson.
So this guy's fantasy team scored a combined total of 1.3 points last week because his girlfriend swapped out all of his good players. Now that is one of the great revenge stories I've ever heard in my life, because it is something that it's certainly not illegal. It's not, you would never encourage someone to steal someone's money or anything like that. That obviously would be a horrible thing to do, regardless of how poorly he had treated you in the breakup. But I do think that this feels like an outstanding tit for tat. You know what I mean? Like, you did this to me, I'm going to make Colin Kaepernick the starting quarterback on your fantasy football team. What do we think of this, Hembo?
What I love is not just that she dropped all of his players. It's that she selected some of the best alternatives.
Right.
Three famously retired players. That's right. Like, so she has football knowledge, right? And it seems that she probably did this, who knows, maybe she thought her boyfriend was spending too much time on fantasy, or maybe there's a lot of money at stake potentially. Like, it is an all-time great troll for any number of reasons. But Kaepernick, Larry Fitzgerald, and Gronk is icing on the cake.
Yes. Let me just merely correct you briefly. Larry Fitzgerald has not officially retired. Rob Gronkowski has. Mm-hmm. Colin Kaepernick, she actually picked a player who has been blackballed from the NFL. Like, she didn't just pick a retired, like, she could have picked Dan Marino
Calvin
if she
Ridley.
Wanted to. There are a lot of retired. The Calvin Ridley would have been inspired. That's who she's missing.
Yeah, she's missing Calvin
Ridley. She's missing Calvin Ridley.
That would be great.
She needs to pick up Mike Evans this week. Like, she needs to go sign Mike Evans just for this week when he is suspended, and then drop him next week. Like, that would be a great punishment, actually, would be that someone else gets to run your fantasy team and purposely tank it, and you have to watch. Oh. You have to sit idly by and watch it happen, and they do it as creatively as they can. You're correct. There is no more creative way of trolling a guy's fantasy team than making Kaepernick his quarterback.
Oh,
you could make any player who's obviously not playing. Like, you could pick the guy who's on the practice. Clayton Thorson is on someone's roster right now. He was Northwestern's quarterback. He's not going to get you any points. But picking Kaepernick is a particularly spectacular way
of
doing
research.
It.
I'm going to research if this is the only if this is the only instance in which Kaepernick has been added to any ESPN.
It's an ESPN league, so he might literally be checking. The only team. Why would anyone else have him on their team?
Starting him.
He's starting.
He's not there in solidarity. He's starting.
Wait, Nuno and Bubba, do either of you have a problem with this?
A problem with it? No, it's the greatest thing I've ever heard.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
It's phenomenal.
Now, let me ask you a different question. You are an unmarried and unattached man. Right, Bubba.
Right.
You. I mean, you're not married. You don't, to my knowledge, have a serious relationship of any kind.
Right.
So I ask you an honest question: does anyone know your passwords?
No, I don't think so.
Like, is there another human being who right now could log into your phone? So you're all just your phone. Is that even considered a password? Like, you have a code, a security code to log into your phone. Most people have them in order to have certain software on my phone, like from ESPN, I have to have one. They won't let you have it if it's not, you're able to lock it, right? Is that the term we would use for this? Lock it?
Yes,
like a lock?
But the face works as an alternative for that.
My face.
Yeah.
But your face doesn't work like that on my phone.
No, but I actually am worried about that about my daughters.
Meaning?
Meaning they're identical.
They can open each other's phones. Oh, yes. Stace and Sean can do it. My wife and her sister can open each other's phones.
Really?
Yes.
So it's not that exact. It's just...
No, it's ridiculously exact. They're identical twins. They look exactly the same.
I think it's working perfectly.
They have the same DNA. Wow. They have the same fingerprints. Identical twins. I can't believe I have to teach you this. You just had them. You're going to have to explain this someday to Michelle and the other one. That they are... Do you know the difference between identical and fraternal twins?
Yes, I know the difference.
Do you?
It's not obvious to me that you do.
Yes. No, I know that one look exactly the same.
No, that's not the difference. The difference, do you honestly not know how you get fraternal twins and how you get identical twins?
I mean, I know how I got twins.
No, that's not what I'm asking.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You.
Yeah.
Those are the same. You get them, in that regard, the same way. But do you know, like, they know if these twins are fraternal or identical before they look at them and say, boy, they really look alike.
I honestly don't. No.
That's terrible to me that you don't know that.
Look, I'm just along for the ride here.
Okay. I'm going to explain this to you very quickly.
Mm.
Identical twins, no, fraternal twins are two, are you aware that a woman inside of her has eggs?
Yes.
And they get fertilized.
Yes.
And you understand how that happens.
Yes.
And that fertilized egg is what eventually turns into your child.
Right.
Or in this case, two children. Fraternal twins are two eggs that get fertilized. They're completely separate. Which is to say they are merely siblings who are born at the same time.
Mm.
The very, very, very rare identical twin is an egg that split. So there was a moment in time when your twins, Michelle and the other one, were one egg. And it split somehow. Mm. So their DNA is the same.
Do we know how?
I mean, it just happens, I guess. I don't know. This happens, and that happens to be the one that got fertilized. So the point of it is that they are identical. They are not just identical looking. Like, they are the same. They're facsimiles of each other. They were once one person, and now they're two people. Does this make sense to you?
Like, we just made a copy, essentially.
I mean, they just made two of them at the same time instead of one of them.
Yeah, I mean, yes, they...
You did.
I did.
Yes, you did that. You have accomplished very few things of value in your life, but you did that. So the point of it is, like, they could open each other's phones. They will be able to.
I forgot where we were.
So
how we got
going back to the beginning of the question, Nuno, if something terrible were to happen to you, and I needed to open your phone, is there a human being alive who could open your phone? Without holding it up to your unconscious face as you were lying on the ground.
After a wedding.
Would I have to, like, hold it up to your face, or is there someone who could say, oh, no, his code is 927 whatever?
Not one person.
Not a human being alive.
Not a human being alive could get
it. If you had to tell someone, who would you trust? What one person would you tell that's the ultimate level of trust? Who would you give your code to? Who did Bubba say?
He said Rothenberg. No,
Dave Rothenberg.
Actually, it's probably Liam Chapman. I trust the British guy.
Liam Chapman. You were saying that exclusively. The old Mike and Mike listeners will remember Liam and his drunken mother, Limes, and Liam's mom. Are you saying that just to kiss up to your boss?
No, definitely not. No, like I probably would trust him. Out of, like,
why?
A lot of other people.
Why on earth, of all the people, are you much closer to Liam than I'm aware of?
Great relationship, but yeah.
What is the last time you and Liam spent time together outside of the building?
Hung out at the picnic recently.
Was a company picnic, to be clear. That was not a picnic the two of you had together.
Lot of personal conversations and all that other stuff.
There were thousands of people invited to a picnic at Lake Compounds, which is they have it every single year. They have a company picnic around Labor Day at the huge amusement park, which is right across the street from ESPN in Bristol. And you're telling me that the extent of your socializing with the person you would select as the closest confidant in your life extends to you and he chatting at the company picnic?
No, I'm not talking about just the company picnic. We've built a bond the last 8 years and so forth. So that would be the guy.
Have you ever eaten dinner with him?
I have.
At a non-work function? Have you met his children?
I have met his children.
At a non-work
function? Yes, actually I have.
Did you meet them at the picnic when they were on the rides?
I've met his wife before. Not at the picnic. And not at the picnic.
At a non-work function.
Yes, it was a non-work function.
What function? At what function did you meet Liam's wife?
There was a wedding from a coworker.
So you so that is a work function.
No, it's not. Hold on. How is a wedding, a coworker's wedding, a work function?
Functionally speaking, that is a work function. The only reason you're both there is because you work with this person who got married. Whose wedding was it, by the way?
Drew Brooks.
Oh, I know Drew. Drew got married and didn't invite me?
Take it up with Drew.
See, this is the beauty of a show like this. We are having one conversation that has taken so many twists and turns. So now we are Brooksy, who was also the producer of Mike. Everyone at ESPN Radio worked on Mike and Mike at one point or another. He got married and didn't invite me. I don't have a problem with this. Last time we play golf together, I'll tell you that right now. So, all right. So, but anyway, the point of it is that I don't even know what the point of it is. Why did we start talking about this?
The fantasy football team.
Oh, that's right. This woman drafted Colin Kaepernick for her ex-boyfriend's fantasy team. And I find that, I for one find that incredibly
funny. That might make the documentary.
All right, be a part of Greeny Nation on the Dr. Pepper calling line. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. It ain't college football season without the delicious taste of an ice-cold Dr. Pepper, the one that fans deserve. Okay, again, KOD pick for tonight.
Hashtag KOD. The kiss of death.
I got the Steelers of the money line tonight. I like Pittsburgh. They're a four-point underdog. I like them to win straight up. Your votes on my Twitter poll at ESPN Greeny. You believe that the likeliest underdog to win this weekend is the Lions. America, at least as represented on my Twitter page, likes the Lions at Minnesota. We'll have another question later today, and we'll see you tomorrow. ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the Podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio and see it with the video on ESPN Plus. Also catch Greeny on Get Up weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN and also available wherever you get your podcast.